Do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Psychoneuroimmunology Hour with your host, Dr. Heather Pierman, Dean of the 13th College of Regeneration Medicine and Clinical Health Services with the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences, owner of Intelligently Designed Wellness, chiropractor, clinical nutrition specialist, and is a quantum life and relationship coach. Dr. Pierman is highly revered by many for her ability to bring the mind, body, and infinite intelligence into alignment.
Greetings. Greetings, everyone. Welcome, and welcome to the Psychoneuroimmunology Hour. And last week, we had a wonderful hour with Dr. Jewel Pookrum, who is the founder and chancellor of the Jewel University. And she is also here this evening, and we are very much looking forward to sharing a wealth of information with you tonight. Once again, we'll be talking about some of the same information that we covered last week about miasms and the emotional basis of illness and understanding how the body truly develops illness. So welcome, Dr. Jewel.
Well, greetings. Greetings, everyone. And thank you so much, Dr. Pierman. I'm so pleased to be able to be on your show. You know, this is just an incredible sequence of knowledge that we really need to comprehend. So the Jewel Network is so honored and pleased that you are blessing us with this incredible information. So what are we going to talk about? I'm ready to bat it back and forth with you. What are we talking? Are we finishing up on miasms? What are we doing?
Yes, we are definitely finishing up on miasms because this is something that definitely the general public is not very much aware of. You know, the conditioning process around illness has been pretty much one-dimensional. A medically oriented approach to understanding quote-unquote illness or disease, or how we know it as disease. So this is such an aspect that people really should know about understanding the emotional basis of illness, or how disease evolves.
Wow. Well, I'm ready to get started, but it looks like our sponsor wants to say hello to everybody, and then let's talk about miasms. So everybody hang in there. We're going to talk about miasms, and as usual, Dr. Pierman loves to talk with you, so make sure you call us in the last part of the show. So just hang in there. We'll let you know when to call us, but check the number down, 347-215-9531. 347-215-9531. So get your questions together, your concerns, and we'll tell you, dial us up, and we will answer them. Well, let's talk about miasms. So, sponsor, what do you have to say? Because we're ready to do this. Be right back.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
Well, Dr. Pierman, okay. Now, first of all, can you just spell that for us again? Miasm. Tell us what it means, and then how are diseases inherited physically and emotionally through this form of energetics? Is that the proper term? Tell us about it. What does it mean, miasm, and what does that do in regards to health and illness?
Okay, well, miasms are which comes from the father of homeopathy, and Dr. Hahnemann, okay, and a miasm is an imprint that that is basically it's information that is stored within our tissue, within our DNA, and it's information from anything from emotions to diseases to experiences. And basically, miasm is something that is either tainted, stained, or polluted.
Mm. So this imprint, now tell us, let us be clear, what is imprint? What, how is this taint or this distortion or pollution an imprint? Okay.
So basically, when you have an experience, okay, any experience, that is the imprint. It is imprinted into your tissues, it's imprinted into your cells, it's imprinted into your DNA, it's imprinted into your consciousness. That is the imprint. The imprint is the experience. It's the thought. It's thoughts. It's experiences.
So it's every emotion. Thought that's experienced in the, every thought in the mind that's experienced through the physical body is an imprint. Wow. Okay.
Every thought. Mm-hmm. Okay. Every thought is an imprint.
And so it becomes miasmic. What is the process that then makes this imprint miasmic? What happens at that point?
The miasm is now information that has been passed on generation to generation to generation. And it influences basically the behavior of how our body will function because it inherited this information. Okay.
Wow. You're telling me, because I really want to make this vivid for all of our listeners, because this is so important, this show that you're doing. You're telling me that what they advertise on TV to say, okay, I can let you know if you're part Scottish or Irish or what tribe from Africa and what nation you're from, et cetera, they can tell that. But you're telling me that my experiences are also on my genetics, where if my mother was angry all the time or, you know, my father basically was depressed, that experience is also on my DNA, that is possible to manifest. And instead of we calling that like a prototype, a phenotype, that this literally would be the expression of my mental self, my emotional self, based on the parents, the experiences of my grandmother, grandfather, great-great-grandmother, great-great-grandfather too? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, if you just use an example of someone who's been adopted, okay, and they grew up in a different household, different environment, and there are definitely influences from that experience. But if they were to meet their biological parents 20 years later or 30 years later after their birth, they will find that they have many of the same habits, the same way of thinking that their biological parents have without ever having met them.
Okay. Well, again, so what I'm hearing, this is a whole level, a new level of treatment for the mental and emotional body that still conventional medicine hasn't begun to address. And you're telling me that in this day, the 21st century, that there were people hundreds of years ago, like this Dr. Hahnemann, that recognized that behavior patterns based on thinking was also inherited, and for all of these centuries, that incredible information has still not been brought to the forefront in the face of all of this mental and emotional duress, the level of suicides, the level of depression, the level of what they call polar disorder class one. All of these imbalances literally are the manifestation of miasms from generations.
Yes.
Wow, that's a biggie. Yes. Everybody, did you hear that? Oh, my goodness. Okay, proceed on, Dr. Pearman. Let's hear this.
So, you know, when I'm working with clients today, I'll just use this as an example. I always we always discuss their parents' history, not just genetically, but just even in their ways of thinking as well, you know, because that is an influence in so many ways. You know, it's not just, you know, most people have an idea. They have a belief system that if their parents had diabetes, they've been told, oh, well, you're going to end up with diabetes, or well, your parents had high blood pressure. Okay, well, you're going to end up with high blood pressure. Now, that is inherited information, and it does influence how your body is functioning. Do you have to express the disease? No, you don't. You do not have to. But if you are experiencing it, yes, you definitely have inherited not just the physiological aspect of it, but you also inherited the belief that you will experience this disease as well.
And now that's a biggie. So you're saying, okay, now let's be clear. So you're saying that my thinking then experienced through the body creates a record energetically in my tissues that I can pass on to my siblings and then their siblings, et cetera. And so now you're saying that the thought that I experience and exhibit through my body is also a belief. What's the difference?
Okay. Well, a belief is a thought. It's a thought.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So disease is a thought. Okay. So it always starts with a thought. So again, any disease is still a belief. It's still a belief at the end of the day, because it always starts with a thought. The body was not constructed to experience these diseases. So how is it that we even began to experience these diseases, or the fact that it's been passed on generation to generation to generation to generation? So in my family, you know, we have high blood pressure, we have diabetes, we have cancer. You know, that's pretty much what I've seen in my family. We have family members that have experienced sickle cell anemia. We have family members who have experienced, as I said before, that we have family members that have experienced MS. Now, they've exhibited the symptoms of MS, okay, but when they had diagnostic testing, there were no traces of it. So how is it that you're still exhibiting these symptoms and you've had test after test after test after test and nothing is being shown as to why the body is still exhibiting these same symptoms?
Wow. Well, you know, we have to talk more than about the inheriting of these diseases and why conventional medicine definitely is not able to confirm that we physically have the disease, but the body is still acting as though it does. So this is a biggie. You have brought us to a point that's so important, and our sponsor is flagging us in our face. So let us, our sponsor, speak. And remember, everybody, you can talk to us a little later. Write that down at 347-215-9531. And we'll be right back talking about how these disorders, just by the thoughts and the behavior of ourselves as well as our predecessors, can manifest in our tissues. We'll be right back after this message. Thank you so much, Dr. Pearman. We're excited. Be right back.
Humanity is experiencing a vast variety of disorders: HIV, Zika virus, Ebola, hypertension, meningitis, STD, Alzheimer's, and many others. These disorders are the results of not knowing how to live within and navigate the human body. Most of us have learned how to drive a car, but have yet to learn how to care for and navigate our bodies. Enroll into the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living to learn how to navigate and maintain a disease-free body. Visit us at www.juis.education or visit us on Facebook.
Greetings. So we were just talking about how these thoughts are inherited. And so once again, the concept of inherited beliefs, okay, once again, disease is still inherited beliefs. There's very much of an influence there from our beliefs. And beliefs aren't, you know, just to explain what a belief is, because, you know, there's a difference between saying to someone, oh, I believe you, and understanding what inherited beliefs are. Beliefs happen upon different levels of consciousness. We have the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, the other than conscious mind. So it's not just in the conscious mind where we have these beliefs. They happen at different levels. And with these beliefs existing in different levels, along with existing in our tissues, our cells, that these are also other vehicles as to how the body begins to express disease. It's not just through the tissues, but if it's also within our thought processes as well, that influences how the body functions. You know, the body is one major feedback system. So anytime we are experiencing dis-ease of any sort, there's also there are also thoughts that are taking place within our different states of consciousness as well.
Okay, well, I would like for you to develop that further. This is profound, because you're telling me literally in a summary, okay, and this summary isn't correct, please correct us, because this is so important. Correct me. You're saying that there's no disease, no dis-ease, no illness that can occur in the body without thinking it into its existence. Is that what you said?
That's exactly what I said. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, I have to keep saying wow, because I'm like, if you just put yourself out on the corner, okay, with a little pad and just checked off, you know, very wonderfully, you know, you have a beautiful smile and everything, and say, you know, I'm Dr. Heather Pierman, and, you know, I'm just collecting some information. You know, we're doing a big study, and I'd like to know, you know, are you suffering from any what they call chronic disease? Would you happen to have diabetes, or, you know, high blood pressure, or you've got chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or perhaps even something more serious such as cancer? And, you know, you can just check it off, and then you can then next question ask them, okay, are you clearly aware of the thoughts that you were thinking that created that disease? And what do you think the response would be with that second question?
Well, that response, they may have to process that for a moment, because that's not a common question at all. And when that question is actually presented to my clients, to my patients, that is something that they have to ponder, because they never had it in their awareness. But when they began to process the thought or the question, they realized that that was always in the background. You know, I had a mentor that once said, you can't think about what you don't want to think about without thinking about it. So even if it's
Can you say that again? Don't pass that out through.
You can't think about what you don't want to think about without thinking about it. So these inherited beliefs are always cycling in the background. Always, they're always there. Always, always, always there.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, you know, in my mind, as a neurophysiologist and a neurocellular biologist, and I say that just to say that I have really taken my attention and moved it from other areas intentionally to this incredible cell known as the neuron. And many of the neurons together form the brain. So you're telling me that as I am thinking these thoughts, the process of my brain then processing my thinking makes a analog, a chemistry that tells my body to function normally, or from my own brain my brain is producing chemistry that interrupts the natural wholesome functioning of my body, where I start having these diseases. And I'm really focusing on the diabetics, that the diabetics actually are creating thoughts that their own brain has to process, and the chemistry from that processing of their through their own brain injects, releases into the bloodstream neurochemistry that keeps them from processing sugar. Is that what you just said? That's
yeah.
what I'm saying? That's what I'm wow. So then where does insulin fit in then? Where does all this other stuff that they are asking people to take, the anti-hypoglycemics and all of this stuff, when the origin of the issue has been their thinking all the time?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if one begins to change the way that they think, okay, if they begin to shift their thinking process, then the body's going to respond to that. Your body responds to whatever you tell it to do. Your body's listening to your thoughts every moment, every second, every millisecond of every day. Okay,
it's but
never
it's the
not
brain that. But it's the brain that makes it physical. It's, that's what
yes.
you're saying. That's where the brain comes in. It makes all of these thoughts physical. I don't think most people understand. They think that a thought is like, you know, waves of heat or something that are just, you know, going out of the head. They don't recognize that those waves of information are actually being processed by their brain, and a chemistry is being made in their body from their own brain that's changing the function of their tissues, changing the total, the whole wholesomeness of their body. Most people don't think that the brain does that.
No, they don't.
Wow. And that's why they keep relying on medication and all these things outside of them to change the body, and nobody's changing the mind that the body, the brain has to process. It's the brain
yeah.
that's making the chemistry, but the brain is only the worker for your mind, your thinking. Is that right?
Exactly.
You can tell
yeah.
I'm very excited about this, because people have to know this. And even though they read the self-help books and, you know, they keep saying my thinking, and people are like, yeah, my mind, but they don't get this. The brain physicalizes every thought. The brain physicalizes every thought. And I guess as a neurophysiologist, and you know, my thing is developing more brain tissue. Wow. Without people coming into alignment and respecting that if you don't control those thoughts, your brain is going to process it and your body is going to show it. If you're taking drugs, for example, that alter your brain function, and these are the kind of thoughts that are still coming from your mind, can you imagine the havoc that the body's going to be in, because the brain is distorted already from drug influence, and then how it's going to interpret the thinking is even going to be more distorted. Oh my God, this says so much, Dr. Pearman, about addictions and why it's so hard to isolate and clearly identify why is this person, even though they see themselves dwindling and the havoc on their body and everything, that they're still doing this because the brain itself can't even accurately process what now are their thoughts. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Ooh. Okay,
that
you go,
correct.
Dr. Pearman. This is really something. Okay, teach us more.
So when you, like, just for instance, okay, we'll use something really simple. So if we walk around saying, I'm tired, I'm so tired, I just can't, I'm tired. You know, remember, this is a thought, and your brain is now processing this information. Biochemically, this is the information that is being sent out to every single cell in your body. It just doesn't go to one area, but it definitely is going to every single cell. Well, what happens over time? You find that you're exhausted. You find that you're tired. that you just don't have the energy to do anything. Okay? So how can that shift? When we begin to shift our thoughts. And also by taking thoughts, also when we begin to take action, which is still a thought, the body responds, the brain responds to that, the body is responding to the information that the brain is then sending to the body.
Well, tell us more, Dr. Pierman. I mean, I'm just still back there at looking at how we're going to help a person. You know, my mind has gone way off to the side. I won't say ahead, but it's gone way off to the side because I'm like, what is going on in these rehab houses? We tell people, you give them intervention, and we tell them, okay, look, you know that what you're doing is not healthy. You're suffering, family suffering, whatever else, et cetera. They go into the rehab houses. So many of the rehab houses don't have detox programs, they don't have nutritional programs that basically are able to do what? To flush out and nullify the effects of the neuropeptides. That is the term we use in neurophysiology of what a thought is turned into from the mind via the brain. They don't have the technology on the physical level to neutralize those neuropeptides in the blood that have been made by the brain, and a brain that now has been altered in function because of the use of the drugs. How are these people then going to ever really get off of their dependency when the bloodstream itself, the tissues themselves, are never purged of the distorted directives chemically that the brain has made for directions for the body to function? How is that going to happen? Help us. How are we going to do this? Okay.
Well, we are going to address that in just a moment because right now we have our sponsors that want to share some information right now.
Be right back. Get ready.
Greetings, and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Psychoneuroimmunology Hour with your host, Dr. Heather Pierman, Dean of the 13th College of Regeneration Medicine and Clinical Health Services with the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences, owner of Intelligently Designed Wellness, chiropractor, clinical nutrition specialist, and is a quantum life and relationship coach. Dr. Pierman is highly revered by many for her ability to bring the mind, body, and infinite intelligence into alignment.
Greetings and welcome back. So how does one begin to make these changes? Okay, how is it that they can aid the body in shifting? So just to point out, again, the body listens to everything. Remember, the brain is processing the thoughts. Okay, so let's just start with willingness, okay? Is there a willingness to change? Okay, that's the beginning. Is there a willingness to change? And if we just have a willingness to change, then what happens? Then the different modalities will definitely begin to present themselves that we can utilize to help us to change and or help the body to begin to heal and to change and to evolve. Okay.
Dr. Pierman, can I be a little advocate here? I don't want to say I'm the devil's advocate, but if we're going back to the neurophysiology that you have identified as what's really happening in our body, if the thoughts that we've been thinking, processed by our brain, now are made physical and released into the bloodstream where every cell now thinks this is what I'm supposed to do, will also has to be a chemical in the bloodstream before the tissues of the body can process the command or the directive for will to be able to even change. So if we're going back to the truth that everything predicated on change, there has to be, quote, a willfulness in thinking that then is made into a chemical by the brain and released into the bloodstream, then we got to go back to what and how do we stimulate a person to be able to think in terms of willing themselves to take a different position in their life. How do we do that? You know, in my mind right now, it's going through the fact that, you know, we've had people like Bade and the gentleman on CNN who just recently committed suicide, and with the kind of life that they were living, seeing their creativity and other people loving it, and that, you know, Mr. Bourdain, what happened in them that this thinking, known as you call it, will, was not perceived by them so that the chemistry the brain would make from that thought would have caused them to change their behavior? And they all had histories of this distortion in thinking, depression, even to the extent of drug usage, et cetera. What has to happen to stimulate a person to think in terms of will? Because if you're telling me that if they won't think about their will, then the brain can't create the analog chemistry that will cause the tissues to want to shift to accept a change. How do we do that? Because this is what you do. How does the psychoneuroimmunology help a person to think in terms of think will, so that we can make a blood quality full of will that will then make your tissues want to accept change? Well, how do we do that? Because this is what you're telling me. I've been listening to you, and you've been telling me that if we can't have the thought, if we can't think the thought, then that body is not going to change. Is that right?
Yes. So first off, I'll just use the example when I'm working with clients here that come in, and you know, I've asked many clients throughout the years, you know, what is it that they want? And sometimes they don't know. They actually don't know what they want. Okay, they know that they don't want to be unhealthy. Okay, that's why they say, that's why I'm here. But when the question is posed, what actually do you want? Do you know what you want? So let's just go back to the thoughts that we have. If we are constantly in functioning through how we do emotions, and emotions are a thought that is attached to a feeling, okay, and of course how the brain is then processing this information, emotions are thoughts that are clearly from the past. It can only be a past reference. It can't be anything else. So if that is the premise, or that those are the beliefs that we continuously are feeding off of, okay, every day, then this is, once again, this is what the body is responding to as well. So it's not until that this is actually pointed out. And sometimes the pointing out can just be as simple as a conversation with someone. Or if you have this desire to change, you know, if you have this desire to evolve, you no longer want to be in this state, the question is, what is it that you actually want? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as healthy? If one can't see themselves as healthy, then, and they're existing in an emotional state, you know, everything is, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm happy, I'm experiencing shame, sadness. If we're constantly existing in those emotions, well, that's what the body is responding to as well. And that's always a past reference. It can't be anything else but a past reference. So if you experience...
Can I interrupt here? Because these examples, keeping this relative to what's happening in our world right now. Okay, we had two people that have done great things that the public really like. All the women love Miss Spade's purses, and, you know, everybody thought it was just great that Anthony Bourdain was bringing us all these remote places and the food and everything so that we could sit right there and see where he was going, what he has done. And it was very interesting, Dr. Pearman, that he made the statement that he hopes that with the things that he's done in life and the places that he has gone and shared with people, that they would remember him, that they would not think about him. And I just thought that that was really interesting, as profound as what he's done, the rare places he's gone. It's not like, you know, he just went to the Eiffel Tower or, you know, went to a typical pyramid in Mexico City. No, he went to places that most people probably didn't even know existed. But he was concerned about the fact that what he did wasn't good enough. I hope that people will not forget me. And it was interesting to recognize that all he's done, et cetera, this is a person who was a dishwasher, okay, and decided that he would switch places in the kitchen and then turn to the stove, okay, and then started cooking on the stove and people liked it. And then he went to the back room as the manager, got a restaurant, okay, started, had his own restaurant, and then developed more and decided, well, you know, shoot, I need to let more people know about this, and started writing books, and it on and on and on. So he was continuously going through this evolution, but inside he was still thinking that people are not going to remember me, that they really are not going to honor my willingness to share. And I was thinking that after all this that he's done and all the accolades and all the places he's gone and how people just are, you know, waiting with bated breath to see where they're going to be able to travel in their living room with him and look at the food, et cetera, that his perception of himself is that, you know, I didn't do much. I'm not really much of value here. And I'm like, tell us, how does a person have these kind of antagonistic thoughts? Because he's going all these places. Obviously, he had to think to go to those places. He had to think that I'm not going to be dishwashing all the time. I'm going to, you know, cook, and then I'm going to own the restaurant. Then I'm going to, you know, write books, and then I'm going to do all these things. And still yet, it was like, it's not valuable. Okay. I mean, tell us about how this happens, because most people, they miss those key words that he was saying. It, you know, he's sitting right there at the table with people telling them, you know, I hope that I can be remembered. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what? We'll close the restaurant for you to be able to sit here with us. Okay. Well, of course we remember you. And he's not seeing that at all, even though he's in the restaurant and he knows that, you know, I called you up, asked, could we do this, et cetera. What is going on there?
Well, again, you know, it goes back to what are his beliefs about himself? You know, how does he see? Oh, yeah. And those same beliefs. So, you know, the beliefs of will someone, I hope that they remember me. How is that any different from someone experiencing diabetes? It's not. It's one and the same, because that's still a dis-ease process. So those are the beliefs that were being fed into his body as well. Okay. The lack of believing that people would not remember him, okay? And, you know, in these situations, we have to be able to go within, okay? And this is definitely what was not happening, because if he went and he knew who he was, really at the very core, that would have changed everything. That would have shifted everything when we begin to understand that aspect of ourselves. But the bombardment of the thought really has such a major influence.
Well, give us, you know, we're still dealing with the simple mind thinking on these words. So when you say go within, okay, I would like for you to tell all of our fabulous listening audience what you mean by that, because I'm thinking that that probably has turned into a whole 1,000 different meanings. And I want everybody to understand that when Dr. Pearman says, go within, what is she saying to us? What are you saying?
Well, to go within means to understand that, you know, that we are ultimately that we're divine beings. We are not these beliefs. We are not these emotions. We are not these inherited thoughts. And, you know, this is why many people take trips to India every year. I mean, this is why many people, have taken trips to India and they spend time in ashrams, okay, for healing purposes, to be able to release these beliefs through different practices, you know, such as meditation. And that's just one aspect of healing, but it's because, once again, they don't understand who they are at the very core. If they understand, you know, we reference the divine all of the time, but in conversation, what we hear a lot of times is that it's something that is external of us, which is not, okay? And that divinity that we truly are at the core is nothing but love. But if we don't go within, then we never get the opportunity to really understand that. So these other beliefs that are the lack, quote, of love, that are a constant bombardment, that will absolutely continue to shift one's chemistry, their biochemistry, and what begins to be affected by that, your body.
Well, that is amazing. So with Dr. Pearman, it's just about time for your callers. They want to talk to you, et cetera. But I want you to share with us just one other project that's happening at the Jewel University. So, again, listeners, I know you have questions because I could just quiz her all day. Please call us at 347-215-9531. If you are in a challenge with any type of disorder, whether it be sickle cell, whether it be melanoma, diabetes, high blood pressure, fibromyalgia, etc., this is somebody that you want to talk to. 347-215-9531. Can you tell us a little bit about what is happening at the university relative to Alaska?
Oh, yes. So we are taking a trip to Alaska in September 17th through the 23rd. That is our advanced discipline workshop. And we are going to study underneath the auroras. And this trip is about being able to open the dormant DNA. We have aspects of ourselves. There's dormant DNA that right now it's dormant, or we'll use another word, inactive. And this trip is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's taking place during a 6,000-year pole shift. We're actually in a 6,000-year pole shift right now. And during the course of the time, during this trip in September, planet Earth will be at the apex of this 6,000-year pole shift, and everything will be amplified. Everything will be amplified. So light is information. Light is information. And we are going to study with Dr. Jewel Pooper and Stephanie South, also known as the Red Queen, who wrote a fabulous book called Accessing Your Multidimensional Self, which is your birthright. Okay, so even in regards to what we're discussing right now, about our levels of consciousness, which we were talking about a little bit earlier, how the fact that on this trip that we are going to be able to access that, okay, and make shifts in our physical bodies, in our physical well-being, and being that information is light, this is really going to be an opportunity to release a ton of these miasms that we have been affected with, infected with, for generations, not just in our in this time, because again, these miasms, they're inherited, and this is going back generation after generation after generation. This trip is going to be a absolutely grand opportunity for anyone to begin to release this miasma, this information that has been influencing our physiology for centuries. For the person that will be there, they will get the opportunity to activate this dormant DNA. It's an upgrade. You know, it's like flying in coach to first class. We'll say the airline Emirates. Okay, you know, everything is reclined. You basically have a huge section to yourself. The food, the beverages, everything is just a major upgrade. So,
okay. Well, I'm excited about it, and this is an upgrade for the 21st century. So you can go to our website, www.juis.education, JUIS.education, to get the details on the Alaska trip. And we're going to go to a station break real quick, and callers, we'll be right back with you. So call in 347-215-9531. Now, Dr. Pearman is going to take your calls right after this break. We'll be right back.
What does the 21st century hold for you? The opportunity to create all you desire in this 21st century is awaiting you in Alaska. Come, join Dr. Jewel and the world-famous Stephanie South from the Law of Time in Anchorage in Fairbanks, Alaska, September 17th through September 23rd for a total life-transforming experience under the Northern Lights auroras. Visit www.juis.education or call 770-383-2112 for details.
Okay, everyone. Well, Dr. Pearman, okay, you're ready for your calls?
Yes, I am. Welcome, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Engineer, who do we have on the line?
235, you are unmuted. If you have a question, go ahead. Caller 235, if you have a question, your line is unmuted. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Caller 383, your line is unmuted. If you have a question, go ahead. If you have a question, go ahead. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Caller 305, if you have a question, your line is unmuted. Hello, caller 305, do you have a question? Next one. Caller 762, if you have a question, your line is unmuted.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Pearman and Dr. Pookrum, I'm very grateful for this platform, and I find the show today very, very exciting. I have a few questions. In reference to tissue regeneration, what part of the brain does one concentrate on to bring that into fruition? And I have a few others, please.
Dr. Pearman, you're the psychoneuroimmunologist.
Okay.
You want to answer that, or you want me to take that on?
Okay. Well, you know, if you can take that on, okay, I will definitely expand on that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you, caller. You know, that is something that I really love. And, of course, we know we can generate. Our hair grows back, our skin grows back, our nails grow back. If people basically don't put their mind adversely on their tissues, they'd be surprised. Oh, you know, they said my kidney came back. Yeah, take part of my kidney, the kidney came back, you know. You never get over this, that people are told, boom, they go back 3 or 4 years later, and it's like, wow, the heart has really recovered here from the surgery, et cetera. You know, yes, we do regenerate. Now, what part of the brain does actually allow that to happen in totality, not just focally in just certain areas of the body? And the part of the brain that we misuse most commonly And we allow this archetype, this construct, to regulate and to dictate what our body should do from this area of the brain, the survival area of the brain, known as the personality. Personality is what controls people through that reptilian brain. Well, why do we know it's the reptilian brain? Because the survival mode is so focused on surviving that we know that it will kill. It will kill another being. It will kill another living organism for its comfort. And something so simple as a bee flies in the room or a mosquito lands on your arm. Nobody thinks about knocking that organism into a new dimension. They don't think about, oh my goodness, that's another life form. It's in the room. No, I don't want it in the room. And really think about, now how can we remove that? It's a rare person that's going to take the time to get to the door or open the window. This got boom, too bad for you. Same for the ants. Now, the same area of the brain that is protective and wants you to survive is also the same area of the brain that will cause spontaneous tissue regeneration. But we don't use that area of the reptilian survival brain because of the personality. The personality is only about four major issues. Am I safe? Do I have food to eat? Do I have clothing? And does somebody love me? That's the only four things that the personality deals with, and it's operating that profound area of the brain, the survival brain. Now, that same area of the brain under a person who has evolved in consciousness with knowledge in their thinking can say, okay, I wasn't paying attention, I was careless here, and I lost three of my fingers on the job. They weren't able to sew them back on. No problem. I want my fingers back. I'm commanding the remainder of these three fingers to grow. I will find out what I need to do, and I will support you in regenerating these fingers. Now, see, that is a logical way to communicate with the survival brain that has all of the programs to stimulate stem cell tissue, blood tissue, to literally localize and regenerate that tissue. But most people are not trained to be able to, from the logical aspect of the brain, communicate with the survival brain and give it directions. Most people only use the survival brain out of a threat, and then that's a response immediately to run away from or to destroy what has threatened me. When you talk about turning on tissue regeneration, you must be able to logically request it. The brain then makes specific neurotransmitters that will activate those stem cells and the remnant of the remaining tissue that remembers itself to begin to grow. See, this is what we'd be teaching at the university, but we've got to elevate you out of not being responsive on a survival mode. We got to get you to be able to be responsive logically in the logic area of the brain. And most people have not even grown enough brain tissue to be logical when there's a drastic change like amputation of three fingers. So those individuals who were able to be logical, I have an article from a woman, and she lost her finger, two-thirds of the top of her finger, and they brought it into the hospital with her, and they were like, oh, too bad. You know, we can't sew this back on. And her thing is like, oh, no, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life without my finger. And so she did the research, whatever else, et cetera, and she found out that her finger could grow back. They had a powder. They had a powder that they've created that will also stimulate the remaining tissues to reorganize that in the bloodstream of a person who has willed. Remember, Dr. Pearman said, if you are thinking will, you are sending a command to that brain that will translate that command into chemistry that the tissues can understand. Those tissues regenerate. And she regenerated her fingernail and all, and take pictures. And the doctors basically will not put this on TV. They won't scream to the top of their lungs. None of that. So she's been doing her own little thing and trying to let people know, look, you don't have to go without your appendages. You don't have to do that. But you have to use the logical area of the brain to give the directives to the survival brain as to what to do. You cannot do it from a response mechanism under the control of the personality. See, the personality is already working that survival brain, but for four reasons. Personality is not programmed to regenerate tissue. Are you kidding? No. Personality is programmed that if you don't give me what I want, or if this is going to harm me, I'm either going to run away or I'm going to kill you. And that does not stimulate any stem cells in your body to want to regenerate what damage has happened in the tissues. This is why we talk about at the university, you've got to come and learn how to operate a physical body. Once you learn how to operate that physical body, how to think properly, have all of your brain tissues online, now you are rolling. You understand that? You are an incredible being, but you've got to learn how to, as we say, drive a body. You can't drive your body. So that's my answer to that. Dr. Pearman, you have anything else to say? Okay.
No, I mean, that's just it. You know, with just, you know, the whole concept of neurogenesis and being able to grow this new brain tissue and in addition to, not in addition to, but what you were just referencing about that aspect of our brain and the information, how it responds to it, communicate to it, if we communicate to it. So that is the aspect of the brain in regards to the question that our caller was asking about. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Caller, you said you had some more questions. We think we can slip one more or two in very quickly.
Oh,
yeah, very quickly.
Yes, yes. Are there tools that one will use to amplify thought?
Are there tools? Oh, most definitely. So if you can just expand a bit more on your question, because there are tools. So when one can use to amplify thought in regards to healing or okay.
Yes.
So, so absolutely. So one thing that we definitely have at the Jewel University, which is first and foremost, is the Dr. Jewel Balancing Program. Okay, which is a program where you are balancing both hemispheres of your brain. Okay, and once you begin to, and in addition, there is neurogenesis that's taking place. You are growing new brain tissue. So within this, being able to do that. See, what happens is when you're working with brain, when you're working with old brain tissue, you know, Dr. Jewel has used the example of pouring wine into a saturated wine sack. You can't pour new wine into an old wine sack. You're still utilizing the same tissue, but you're now trying to process information.
We're coming to an end of our show, Dr. Pearman. Can you tell
us
goodbye or leave us with a great thought before it's time
don't
to go?
Playing this. Remember, willingness. Willingness is the first step. Thank you.
We love you. See you next Tuesday.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. One night.
Thank you for sharing this hour with us. You've been listening to the Psychoneuroimmunology Hour on the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. Join Dr. Pearman here every Tuesday at 5 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.com and the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living Jewish. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.com. If you'd like to contact us, please send your email to info@thejewelnetwork.net. Thank you.
Okay. Great show. Okay. Great show. Huh? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Dr. Jewel?
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. Oh, you know, I disconnected you. I just disconnected you. Okay. Mm-hmm, yeah, hi. I made a mistake. I disconnected you. Let me disconnect myself. Okay. Oh, let me disconnect myself. I can hear myself. Okay.